Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Lord, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. We just come, Lord, to bless you today, dear Lord. Lord, we just come to magnify your already magnified name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We say, have your way in this place today, dear Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for moving by your spirit in here, dear Lord. Thank you for your anointing, Lord, that's breaking yokes and breaking bondages, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for setting the captive free, dear Lord. Delivering, hallelujah. Healing the brokenhearted, dear Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah. Just have your way, Lord, hallelujah. Lord, we yield it, dear Lord, hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for being in our midst, dear Lord, hallelujah. We just thank you for your sweet spirit, dear Lord, hallelujah. We thank you for your love, dear Lord, hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, Lord. All that you've already done and that what you're about to do. You may be seated, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory, hallelujah. Holy Ashita Gasandariasa. My Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God wants you to know today that you have an assignment. You have an assignment. You just didn't come in this world just to sit around and lollygag, hallelujah. But he has an assignment for you. Today he has instructed me to speak to you about your assignments. We're not talking about your school assignments, not talking about your work assignments, not talking about the things that your family has assigned you to do, not even talking about your church assignment. We are going to talk about your God-given assignment. Now, I know that some of you sharp listeners are going to say through the pages of your mind, I remember her speaking about that not too long ago, your God-given assignment. Not so. I actually did not talk about God-given assignments. I spoke about callings. And if I remember correctly, the title was, You Have a Calling on Your Life. And there's a difference. Your next thought might be, well, aren't they the same? My response would be, no, they're not. A calling is a summons from God to practice particular spiritual gifts, such as teaching, preaching, prophecy. Today, God's focus for us is involving the things that he has assigned us to do individually. Amen. Those things that he has spoken to our hearts and we just sit on them and say, oh, I know, I don't have time to do that today. It's too rainy. I don't want to do that today. I'll check on them another day, or I'll take them some food next week when I get my paycheck. Today, God's focus for us is involving the things that he has assigned us to do individually. Unlike a calling, an assignment is a task that someone in authority has asked you to do. The authority that we're responding to today, guess who that is? That's God. God has given every person a purpose. Every person was born with a purpose. And with that purpose, God assigns appointments for us that our lives might be fulfilled based on what he has called us to do. Amen. We find throughout the Bible where God gave his people assignments. Some assignments were really hard and some weren't so hard. If you've made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, you, my friend, are on the assignment list. Acknowledging God as your Lord and Savior means that he has been given rulership over your life. And you are involved in some decision-making process. It's a decision to do the things that God has called you to do. And we're not talking about the things that call to sing in the choir or call to usher. We're talking about those assignments, those things that God speaks to us in the middle of the night, or those things that he keeps putting in your heart over and over and over. Did you call so-and-so? Did you call him and pray? Those things that he has assigned us to do that only we can do. You know, you might refer to them as tasks, but they're assignments. Your life no longer belongs to you, and it's been hidden in Christ. And Jesus should be calling the shots. Colossians 1, 2, and 3 says, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things, not on things on earth, but those things are above. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God. When we purpose to set our affections on the things above, not on the things on earth, that type of affection means that we are exercising our mind to think like Christ. It means to interest oneself with concerns of being obedient to the will of God. Not obedient to your friend that wants you to go with them to the club. Not obedient to your friend that wants you to go shopping. Not obedient to your friend that says, oh, let's go over and have some food over at such and such restaurant. No. Being obedient to the calling of Christ, to those things that he has told us. So many times we just put those things aside. We hear God telling us what he wants us to do, and it's just sheer disobedience. It's flat out disobedience. Yeah. You know, but sometimes, I can't do that. That's too hard. I know he's not calling me. They're not going to listen to me. And we give them a whole bunch of excuses. But you know what? It's going to come around again. If we are truly seeking to be obedient to the will of God, our question to God might just be, Father, what is it that you would have me to do today? And that sincere type of seeking God's will, he might impress upon your spirit something that you may have had no intentions of dealing with today. Believe me, and most of you know. We do a lot of good things on our own, but the weightier things, those things that might cause us some discomfort or some time away from the TV or some time off the Facebook or off the cell phone, are the most important things, as we will find that more than likely they're an assignment from God. When God lays upon your heart or gives us a burden to do something out of the ordinary, it's not always going to be a walk in the park, and you're not going to be tiptoeing through the tulips. Sometimes it's going to be very uncomfortable. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be unnerving at times, or even maybe a little fearful. But remember, God said in Proverbs 3:6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Deuteronomy 3:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. So don't be discouraged. I mean, those things may seem like, oh, my God, I can't do that. But you can, because he already assigned you. If he didn't think you could do it, he wouldn't have told you to do it. Now, let's revert back to Colossians 3:1-2 just for a moment. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, setting your affections on things above, not on the things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Think about it. If ye be risen, it means that we are lifted up with Christ. We are emerging from the dust and the noise of our old lives. We have been liberated, and we have been renewed. Our vision has expanded, and we see clearer than we ever saw before. We are dead to the old way of doing things, the old way of thinking, the old way of acting. We should be dead to our desires to call our own shots and make our own decisions every day in life, every day that we live. So many times God drops that assignment at the spur of a moment, meaning something has to be done without planning in advance. It's on an impulse. God is God. He's in charge. And if you've given him free rein in your life, he doesn't have to warn you or give you time to think about what you want to do or whether you might do it and whether you might not do it. If he has assigned you to do it, he means that he wants it done now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, not the week after, but now. And ain't that just like God? That's what he does. We must believe that we are being guided by God to complete the task, even when it doesn't look like it's God or even when it doesn't feel like it's God. Walking in your God-given assignment, once you yield, it's a wonderful place to be. It's a place that you find spiritual satisfaction, peace, and fulfillment. You'll find that when you start yielding to God's will and the things that he tells you to do, no matter how minor you think they are or how hard they are, it's going to be the greatest feeling in the world when you know that you've accomplished what God has sent you to do. Amen. For starters, if we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has given us an assignment, we must carry it out. Amen. Lives could be at stake. Yes. Danger could be waiting around the corner for somebody. It could be that someone just needs a word or just needs to know that God loves them and that he cares what they're going through. We've got to trust God and believe that he has already ordained us to carry out that particular assignment. and carry it out to completion, not get halfway and then say, oh, well, you know, this wasn't God. I'm just going to go back home. Believe that in your obedience, God's will is being done and that God will get the glory out of your obedience to him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You may have a lot of questions regarding these random spur of a moment assignments that God gives us. That's normal. Until you settle with the understanding that God hands us assignments to his children that are yielded. He needs us. One question you may have is, now why would God send someone on an assignment that they're not in agreement with? It just seems a bit far-fetched. I'm just not prepared. My answer would be, because he is God and he does what he wants to. Why would God have me do something that I'm not comfortable doing? It's really outside of my wheelhouse. My answer, because he's God and he does what he wants to. Another question, doesn't God know that I'm not qualified to carry out this assignment? Answer, he's God and he does what he wants to. Why isn't God taking into consideration my age or my conditions? Because he's God and he does what he wants to, when he wants to and how he wants to. Actually, there are some factors to be considered in understanding God's reasoning in terms of his assignments. There are some things going on. God makes assignments to his children because he has need of you and that you've surrendered your life to him in your heart when you say you made Jesus Lord of your life. Amen. But did you really make him Lord of your life? Or were you afraid of going to hell? Sometimes it's because he trusts you to complete that task. He knows that he's already equipped you to complete it. It's because he loves you and he's already equipped you. God wants to fine-tune your obedience and your skills. He wants to raise you up for his glory. Hallelujah. He knows that you're perfect for that particular assignment. Now, he may give me an assignment and that he knows that I'm suited for that assignment, but giving that same assignment for somebody else is not for them. What he has for us is for us. He may be trying to reach someone that's in dire need of hope or help. He could be using you to answer someone's prayer. It may be a life or death situation. Sometimes he's trying to prove to you that you hear his voice, that you know that you're hearing from him. We know that God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. There were many people in the Bible that God assigned tasks to that we would deem impossible to carry out. Had God assigned some of us to perform the types of tasks that he has assigned to some of the children in the Bible, we would still be running for cover. I know I would. King David had an assignment, a very hard assignment, that actually he brought it upon himself through disobedience. In 2 Samuel 24, chapter, verse 1 through 17, David was warned against counting the men in the army. He was warned by God through Joab, the commander of his army. He disobeyed, had the men counted anyway, and he angered God. David was given three choices of a punishment: 3-year famine in the land, 3 months of military fighting with the Israelites, or 3 days of pestilence. And he chose to deal with the pestilence. It covered the land, and guess what? 70,000 people died right before his eyes. Of course, he atoned for his sin, and he went down in Bible history. But see what happens when God tells us sometimes to do something and not do it? I mean, it could be like the worst decision of your life. Jonah's hard assignment given by God was to go to Nineveh and preach repentance to the rebellious, sinful people. Jonah had a problem with God's mercy, giving them a chance to repent from their wickedness. It's like they did it, they brought it on themselves, and I don't think you need to be giving them no chance to do anything. Jonah was at odds with God's decision. Therefore, he boarded a ship, as we know, went in the wrong direction. As a matter of fact, Jonah purposely went in the opposite direction of his assignment, trying to flee from God's instructions. When he boarded a ship and a big storm came up and the people on board said, something just ain't right here. And all of a sudden, when they determined that Jonah was a problem, guess what? They threw him overboard. Jonah was thrown overboard, and a big fish swallowed him. After taking up residence in the belly of a fish for 3 days, Jonah prayed to God, and the fish spat him out. Guess where Jonah's next stop was? Yep, on the way to Nineveh to complete that assignment. The people repented, and the prophet Jonah was spared. If God had assigned you to do something, guess what? It's going to get done.
Amen.
In Genesis, 22nd chapter, Abraham, or Abram at the time, after waiting 25 years for the promised son, God is now tasking him to sacrifice his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. After Isaac is bound to the altar, a messenger from God or an angel steps in before him before he can complete the sacrifice, saying, "Now I know that you fear God." Abraham looks up and sees a ram in the bush and sacrifices it instead of Isaac. Our assignments build trust and faith in God, in God's plans, and it allows us glorious opportunities to be used by God if we understand and if we look at it in the right frame of mind. Sometimes we look at it as though, why is God picking on me? Why does he want me to do this? I mean, if you really understood the magnitude of being selected by God to carry out his assignments, my God, you would just be gloating and delighting in it. I mean, you'd have a whole different frame of mind. You wouldn't walk around saying, "Oh God, I got to do this for him, and he said I got to do that, and I got to give this person some money, and blah, 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 blah." You know, instead of saying, "My God, you chose me to do that because you love me so much and you trust me," you know? When God is able to fulfill his purposes for our lives, it's the ultimate accomplishment, the ultimate accomplishment. It's an accomplishment better than anything we could do in our jobs, better than anything that we could do for our parents, you know, as they get older. You know, sometimes we walk around, "I put my mama in a house," or "I bought my mama a car," wah, 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 wah. No, the ultimate purpose is God's accomplishment, him accomplishing his purpose, his goals for our lives. In Matthew 26, 36, 34, in my opinion, we read about the greatest, most impacting assignment given by God that's known to man. Jesus was given the task, the assignment of giving his life to save mankind from eternal death and damnation. His assignment proves that God is not a respecter of persons, whereby he loved us enough to give the life of his only begotten Son for us. Jesus, being deeply grieved, repeatedly prayed to God to remove the cup from him. Jesus' despair and sorrow was so great that even his sweat became like great drops of blood. Upon Jesus' third plea to have the Father remove this cup, or this assignment, or this suffering, if at all possible from him, we know that Jesus resolved in Luke 22:42, his resolve was, "Father, if you are willing, remove the cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Age is not a factor when God gives an assignment. There's a task that has to be completed that has been preordained for God's glory, and you have been chosen to carry it out. God uses whom he pleases. God called Samuel at the tender age, between 8 and 12 years old. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verse 1 through 21, Samuel had been left with Eli to be raised as a priest. God called Samuel 3 times. Each time he thought Eli was calling him. Eli advised him that he wasn't calling him, and Eli discerned that it was God who was calling Samuel. Eli told Samuel to respond by saying, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Although Eli was a priest, a grown man, God used Samuel, the youth, ironically, to tell or to announce to Eli the destruction, his destruction, and the destruction of his whole household. God used Samuel as a prophet at a tender age. However, Samuel's calling also involved holding the office of a judge, a prophet, and he walked in priestly privileges. John the Baptist was created to carry out one assignment. He was to be the voice in the wilderness, crying out to prepare the way for Jesus. Moses' primary assignment was to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Let's look at some situations that might indicate you're about to be on assignment for God. The task may not be convenient for you. I have some things that I have on my schedule. I got to go shopping today. I can't go over there and help Aunt Mamie scrub her floors. It may be to do something that you absolutely dread doing. I remember when we were taught that we need to go out and minister and tell people all about Jesus, kind of young and understanding the word and understanding the real, true living God and how we should live. And we had been given these little tracts to go out and give them. And I tell you, that was the hardest thing for me to do because I was just not one to just open up to people, you know. So anyway, I had my little 5 or 6 tracts, man, and I went in the CVS shaking kind of like this. It was Peebles at the time. And finally, I saw this man, and I said, Jesus, love you. And I handed that track and flew out of there. I said, I did it, Lord, I did it. But I mean, you know, boy, I tell you, it's something. You know, I was excited about God, but I wasn't that excited about opening up to people. You know, I figured I'd do my praying and all of those things and loved being in the ministry. It helps, man. I would do anything in the ministry. It helps. Just don't send me up there behind that pulpit. You may have to do something, or you may have to go it alone when God tells you to do something. Amen. It may be during a time we're not feeling at your best. You may not be feeling like going out and doing what God has sent you to do. The assignment could require that you reschedule an event or an appointment that you were looking forward to. The weather may be horrible when your assignment is given. You may find yourself having to give a word that you know is not going to be readily received. The territory or the area of town in which your assignment is to take place may not be the best. God may give you an assignment on your birthday, and your family and friends might have plans for you. The location of your assignment may not have sufficient parking spaces that are in close proximity to where you need to be. You know how it is when God sends you somewhere and you got about 55 blocks to walk before you can't find a parking spot? You may be required to dip into funds that you've set aside for a rainy day. Your assignment may be out of state and you've never met the person God is sending you to. It happens, trust me. You may have to take a stand against all odds. You could find yourself confronted with having to deal with a life or death situation, such as an assignment that was given to the prophet Isaiah when he had to tell King Hezekiah of Judah that he was going to die. After Hezekiah prayed and pleaded to the Lord, God sent the prophet back to him and advised him that his life had been extended 15 years. Our responsibility to God is to take every opportunity we've been given to serve God through obedience. Amen. Be on the alert for his summons to you. If he has placed an urgency in your spirit to perform a particular task, be open. Become so keenly aware of God's calling that it doesn't matter whether it's early in the morning or whether it's late at night. It doesn't matter what you've got scheduled or who you have to do something for. Your allegiance goes to God because he's your number one supporter, your number provider, and your number one protector. Yes, you should have no worrying about help in carrying out God's assignment because God said in his word that he'll never leave us or forsake us. We have the God-given ability to complete any assignment that God has given us. I will leave with you the words in John 9 and 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for there's a night that comes when no man can work. And you know that New Living Translation says it with a bit more urgency. It says we must quickly carry out the task assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming and no man can work. You got to make it a priority to tell God to speak for his servant heareth him. Now, when God had given me this particular topic, I had asked him, I guess, probably, but I knew I had to be up here on this particular Sunday. So I always started wearing them about 6 months ahead. Then I drop it down to 3 months, and I don't get nothing. And then after that, I said, oh, well, I still got about a couple of months. And then all of a sudden, it gets in that last month. I said, oh, my God, you got to give me something. You know, I'm waiting for you to tell me what to talk about. And so anyway, lo and behold, he said, he always says, I'm going to show you, I'm going to show you, I'm going to show you. Well, that's not good enough for me because I'm going to go back six more times during that day. And God knows me. So anyway, lo and behold, I had a task. Someone had invited me to a tea party, not a tea party, but a tea gathering, where, you know, the little old ladies go, and they sit there, and they drink the little tea with the little hats on and everything, and they eat the little trumpets, and the little biscuits and donuts and hors d'oeuvres. So anyway, when I said yes to that particular function, it was about a month ago. It was prior to Christmas, and so it was going to be in January. So I said, oh, we good. Yeah, we can do that. So anyway, when that particular week came, they talked about how bad the weather was going to be. Torrential rains, hurricane storms, all kinds of stuff, flooding. And I said to myself, I am not going to no tea function today. So anyhow, I said, I'll wait for this particular person to call me and tell me that it's canceled. Lo and behold, this chick calls and say, you ready? And I'm like, does she ever listen to the news or the weather? What is wrong with her? And I said, She said, I said, well, did you hear the news? It's going to be raining, a terrible storm. They talk about floods, talk about everybody staying at home. She said, oh, it's nothing like having tea on a rainy day. I said, Lord, I told the Lord, I said, I'm not going out there in all that rain and that flooding. I'm going home and prop my feet up and get a cup of coffee, and I'm just going to sit and look out the window at the rain. He said, you going to that function? And I was like, woo. And I said, but they said the weather's going to be horrible. I said, it's terrible over there near the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts. I said, you can never find no parking spot. I said, I think she's going to call back. He said, no, she's not. So anyway, lo and behold, me and the Lord just going back and forth. He said, I got you. I got you. I said, I don't want to go. And so anyway, there's some people that I know are prayer warriors and that I trust what they tell me. One of them called and say, you know what? You be careful today because it's really going to be bad. As a matter of fact, you probably don't even need to go to church today. You just stay home and just take care of yourself. And I was like, ooh. And so anyhow, then somebody else called and said, Pastor Linda, be sure that you be careful going home because there's going to be a lot of rain. You get home and get out that rain. The Lord said, you're going. So anyway, got myself together, left here, went on over there. I said, Lord, you got to find me a parking space. I said, because the thing about it is that I never know parking over in that area. And so anyhow, he kept saying, I got you. Got a parking space directly in front of the building. This person texts and saying, I'll be there in 15 minutes. And so when they got there, God even spared them and gave them a parking spot parallel to me on the other side of the highway. Just like that, I said, and you know, that's God. And, you know, a part of me still wasn't convinced that that's what was going on. But anyway, I said, when I was on the way home, after we had had our little fellowship, the person told me, she said, you know what? I remember one time when you took us out to dinner on your birthday. And she said, I thought that was such a wonderful thing. She said, I wanted to do something nice like that. She said, because tomorrow is my birthday, and my heart just sank. I said, if I had canceled this appointment, that's why God was so adamant about me going. I said, you know, it would have crushed her, and then I would have missed the free tea. And it was really nice. Tea was horrible, but the little crumpets were really good. I told her, but I said it was water, nothing but hot water. But lo and behold, when I was on the way home in the rain and the storm, God said, that was your assignment. I said, now I get it. But it didn't just end there. Shortly after that, he had been on me about writing a letter, and I write letters to people quite often, writing a letter to somebody that was in our family that was kind of going through some hardships, kind of depressed. And he said, I want you to write that letter now. And so anyway, eventually I sat down And he said, I want you to write that letter down. So I got that, got my little paper. He dictated, it was about 3 sheets this long. Talked about that person's life, talked about how he had really called them to be a missionary. And this was an important part of it. This person was not a churchgoer, but she was more of a missionary to people than your average person that's in church 10 days out of a week. He talked about, had me to tell her about how he watched her when everybody had a birthday, a wedding, a celebration, anniversary, anything. She would go out of her way and just do, she was a pastry chef at a high-end restaurant in Williamsburg. She would go out of her way to do for everybody and to make you feel so special. And he said every time somebody was sick, not only in the neighborhood but on the job, she'd go over carrying loads of pastries and all kinds of books and magazines and everything. He said when women had kids and they didn't have any support, she'd go over with piles and piles of clothing, all kinds of things, just did all the time. He said she was a missionary without even knowing it. Yeah, she said she read her Bible. She didn't get to go to church on Sundays because, you know, if you work at a high-end restaurant, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be there. She was a pastry chef. You're going to be there. And so he had me to just encourage her, letting her know that although she was not in a church, she was one of his children. He said she had given her life and she had done things more than the average person that's in a church would ever do. And just encouraging her, and she talked about how with her family, it was a lot of them, the mother had passed not too long ago, but they were all grown. And she was saying how it came to her realization that I don't have a good family. She said, I always grew up thinking I had a nice family. She said, but when I look back, everything that was done for anybody in the family, every kind of function, every kind of a dinner, I did it all. And she said, they would promise me, she said, one time they had promised her, yeah, I'm going to make the potato salad and bring it. She said, they came with a can of beans and said, I didn't have time. We like beans. And she said, the sad thing was, when it was their time, they'd run to the Kentucky Fried and grab a bucket of chicken, or they would go and grab some kind of a store-bought cake or have some kind of any kind of pizza or whatever. But when she did it right, because she loved them, and she wanted to do right. And she said, you know what? They just used me, she said. And so in her days as she had retired, she said, I never really had a real family. She said, I just had some users. And so she had been down a lot the last few times we had seen her. So God wanted her to know that he saw her. He knew, you know, the type of person she was. He gave her a husband that was exactly the same way. They're 2 peas in a pod. And he wanted her to know how much he loved her and the fact that he saw her, that he had even saved that husband for her after she had gone through a bad marriage. He had given her the right person, somebody that was just like her. He said, I loved you. And he said, I took care of you. I watched you. God, she had a little business on the side, wedding cake business. And what she would do would be, she'd stay up until like, gosh, 1 o'clock in the morning, 12:30, then she had to be at work at 4 o'clock, and that was for years and years and years. But that was a commitment to doing the right thing. Many people would have called in and said, ain't no way in the world I'm coming in here tonight. I got a cake to do tomorrow. But God wanted her to know that, so I wrote the letter, all those pages, and I mean, I used to take my time printing things nicely, but he was talking so fast, and I was writing the stuff down. And I said, do I need to rewrite this? He said, no, I'll put it in an envelope and send it out of here. And anyhow, I let it stay. He said, didn't I tell you to put that letter in the mail? I said, but I don't have no stamps. And I had one stamp I dug in the pocket somewhere and found it. He said, get it in there today. So there was an urgency somewhere in that particular assignment to get that to this woman because I don't know what was going on in her heart. Last few times I had seen her, she just looked so sad and so pitiful. Last assignment. I had, and these assignments are important. I'm telling you that simply because the fact is that God gives assignments. You got to be keen and sensitive to know when he's speaking to you. You may think it's just something out of the ordinary, but it's not. It's something that has to be done that he wants you to be attentive to do. Most of the time, it's a small thing. I mean, it's not catching a plane and going over to Hawaii, although that would be really nice. But there are things that he wants us to do as the body of Christ on a day-to-day basis. Be sensitive and fine-tuned to what God's saying. I'd gotten up and I had gotten a bag of navy beans, and I rarely ever do this because they don't agree with me too much, do they, Ricky? But anyway, I had made those beans because it was going to be kind of chilly, and got out the smoked ham hocks, and I had soaked them that night and cooked them, and man, threw them in the crock pot. The next day, they were just so pretty. And so I was standing at the stove, and the Lord said, take those beans to Pancho. And I said, take the beans to Pancho? And he said, yeah. He said, take them now. Pancho, we had two friends that we used to travel with and we'd hang out with, and then we kind of went our separate ways, but, you know, we just didn't get to talk to either one of them too much at that time. So I said, that's right. And, you know, it struck me, that's right, Dad. I said, that man loves beans, loves white beans. Anytime you go to school and you're in elementary school and in high school and everybody else is carrying a sandwich and you walking around with a jar of beans in your pocket every day, every day. He said, I don't care what nobody said. It didn't bother me. I'm going to eat my beans. And the boy would eat beans about 3-4 times a week. And so I said, okay. I said, I'll take some over there. And what really hit me was the fact that they had lost their son I guess probably about 3-4 months ago. She had called to tell me, and I said, please let me know, you know, what's going on, when you're going to funeralize it up. Didn't hear anything from her, didn't see nothing in the paper, so I didn't know what was going on. So anyway, Rick and I said, oh, we're going to get over there in a few weeks, give them time to kind of settle down, go sit and chat with them. No, 2 weeks left. 3 months went by, we never got over there. And then you start feeling really bad, like if I show up now talking about, you know, I come to give my condolences, you look like a nut. But anyway, when he told me about those beans, I said, that's right. I said, we're going to take them over there. He said, get them over there today. We went on over there, called him and said, open that door, we out here. She said, Linda and Rick is out here. And so anyhow, when I went in there, that jar of beans, that man's face lit up like a Christmas tree. He had a tear in his eye. He said, I've been sitting here all day wanting some beans so bad. He said, I just said, Lord, I sure wish I had beans. I said, well, the Lord surely heard you because he had me to give you my beans. So, but anyhow, little tears come out of his eyes. We sat back, talked about old times, you know, and it brought restoration, you know, because sometimes when you go in a direction that's different from what the people that you used to hang out with, they think that you're too good to hang out with them and that you don't love them no more and da-da-da-da. But it was just like we'd never parted ways or never separated as far as our relationship is. And like I say, I'm saying that because these assignments are very important, very, very. We could have gone on years and years and years and never ever, you know, got back in touch with them. The young lady that I talked about with the letter could have been so sad and so downhearted, you know, until, you know, she would just feel like, you know, you don't know what's going to happen with people. I mean, why would you allow somebody to live in that kind of state of being when all you have to do is be obedient to God? Yes. You know, that's what we call to do, to lift one another up, yes, to bring love and peace and to brighten someone's day. Yes. Same with the tea thing. You know, like I said, that rain, oh, my God, I didn't want to go out there for nothing. Ma'am, when we got in there, and, you know, with a function like that, you go in there all prim and proper. She had a little dress on. Man, I had have black pants and some tennis shoes. And those people were sitting there kind of looking. I said, don't even try it. But I know what they were thinking, like, what in the world are you doing up in here? But anyway, praise God. Like I said, assignment-wise, be careful. Get into a position, even in your prayer time, not to just jump up from your prayer and not understand or even know what God has you to do today. That's an ideal time to say, God, what is it that you want me to do? Do you have an assignment for me today? And just sit there a minute and let him speak to your spirit in order that he might make your day the best day that ever was. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.